I'm Robin Gagnon.
And I'm Eric Gagnon, and we sell restaurants. We started the nation's largest restaurant brokerage firm, We Sell Restaurants, over a decade ago. You can find us online at WeSellRestaurants.com.
That's not all. We're on your radio once a week with the leading authorities in the business talking about subjects trending in the restaurant industry. Tweet your own questions while we're on the air to our Twitter handle. It's at Sell Restaurants. Post to our Facebook page, facebook.com/WeSellRestaurants. If we don't get you your questions, we'll follow up on our social media channels.
Our goal is to satisfy your appetite for acquisition, feed the need for restaurant reality, and serve up a recipe for business success. If you have any ideas or any comments about the show, I'd love to hear from you. Send me an email. My email is Eric, E-R-I-C, at WeSellRestaurants.com.
Today, the restaurant brokers are going hog wild. That's right. We're interviewing pork experts and going beyond the classics. How is pork being popularized by some of the best chefs in the business? Join us as we interview the pros of pork.
And our first guest today is Evan Weinstein. Evan Weinstein is a co-founder of promotion company Steers Promo, which is responsible for spearheading some of the most prominent music festivals in the United States, including the Baltimore Moonrise Festival. Additionally, he expanded Steers promotion into some of the top concert halls in the world, including 930 Club, the Theater of Living Arts, and the Norva. Evan has worked with some of the biggest names in live entertainment, such as Live Nation, and talent including Diplo, Bass Nectar, and Cascade. Evan applied his experience promoting large-scale music festival to his newest venture, America Loves Bacon. Evan, we're so glad to have you on the show today.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Okay. Great, because, you know, everybody does love bacon. Our last guest is Brian Duffy. Brian is perhaps most recognized from his abundant television appearances in the wildly popular Spike TV series Bar Rescue. He tours the country, sometimes on that Harley Davidson, reforming failing bars and restaurants and with his Tell It Like It Is style. He made his on-camera debut on the Food Network series Date Plate and has appeared on countless segments on the DIY Network, HGTV, NBC, and Fine Living Network. Chef Duffy is also returning for his second time to judge the Food Network series Beat Bobby Flay and has appeared on the Today Show since 2006 for the St. Patrick's Day Irish Cook-Off. Chef Duffy even has his own signature spice, which is available on his website. Chef Duffy, thanks so much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure.
Great. So, Eric, start us off. What do you want to know about these purveyors of pork out there?
Well, I want to know how you guys got more and more involved with the pork business. There's so many proteins out there, and you guys decided to fall in love with pork. Chef Duffy, why don't you tell us first, what is this new passion with pork?
You know, I think we're at an awesome place with food right now, you know, compared to where we were. And not that we were in a bad place 8-10 years ago, but I think we're at an awesome place right now because of the fact that we've gotten into this casual world. You know, the fine dining restaurants have kind of taken away, or it's gone a little bit by the wayside. The casual, more gastropub end of the world is really coming up, and it's starting to become a staple in everybody's lives. And with running the idea of a gastropub, you have to take, you know, what you're doing is you're taking cheaper cuts of meat and cheaper ideas, and you're moving them into more of a mainstream world. And pork is just an awesome place to start. You know, I mean, it's never been to a point that it's so expensive. I mean, if you think about, you know, the fillet of a cow, we're talking about, you know, $16, $17, $18. When we're talking about, you know, a tenderloin of pork, you're talking about $6, $7 a pound. So it's kind of, it used to be the white trash of meat. Guess what? Now it's stepped up to the plate.
I love that. I'm going to be tweeting that. Used to be the white trash of meat, but no longer. So,
Evan, what about you? How did you come to this love, even take it a step further to just like, hey, I love bacon. Tell us about that.
I think it was more kind of the creativity of the chefs and just seeing, you know, when the pork belly really made its appearance on the menu and how all the different chefs started doing different things and then different flavors of bacon and then, you know, different varieties and how bacon just started popping up in everything. And then it was, you know, you really saw how dynamic the dish could be. It's not just it became not just a breakfast food and not just a savory food, but kind of it can be in any food. So then it gave us the idea that, all right, well, can we build something around this? Can we make a festival around this? And you saw kind of the food world started to explode. And then the food event world has been starting to explode over the last couple of years, and that's where I saw my opportunity to jump into it and give my take on it.
I love this festival idea, America Loves Bacon. So who shows up? Is it a cross-section of America, everybody from chefs to those folks at home who just, you know, can't have a salad without crumbled bacon on top? Or is it, are we going to see these wild and unusual chocolate-covered bacon? Who's there and what are they cooking up?
So as far as who's there, you know, it's a nice cross-section. I guess you're right. It's a nice cross-section of America. It's everything from families to college kids to food enthusiasts, foodies, if you want to call them that, chefs, mixologists, people like that. Everyone, you know, all of those people show up, and it's kind of just anyone who's really excited about bacon and want to try it in different ways. So as far as the food, you know, we work with our chef in-house, and we kind of kick around ideas as a team to build this menu out. And then what we do, as far as our menu, it's a variety. It's a lot of bacon on a stick. So we'll do 8 to 10 flavors of bacon on a stick, things you've never seen before, like root beer bacon and pumpkin bourbon spice bacon and Carolina spice bacon and all different flavors. And some of them are regional, and some of them are tied in with holidays that are close by, and we get pretty creative with it. And then on top of that, we'll go out and make my chef put together this tempura bacon there was a honey powder, and there was all kinds of other stuff with it, and dipping sauces, and then there was General Tso's bacon, which was an interesting arrangement. It was kind of almost like a little sliced up pork belly in General Tso's sauce. It was pretty good. It was pretty popular. Then we have a confections area, so it's the menu's pretty diverse and it's pretty interesting. It's a lot of stuff you've never seen before.
Wow!
I think we just did bacon around the world in 30 seconds here. And Chef Brian, let me ask you this. I read somewhere that pork is about to surpass beef as far as a premium protein here in the United States. Now that brings a question: how about supply, sustainability, and that kind of thing? So, are we going to see like shortage in supply, so price will eventually go up like beef, or are we in a good place as far as that goes and getting some quality cuts from the pork?
You know, I mean, the prices has started to rise over the last couple of years with stuff. And again, you know, that's with anything. I mean, bacon used to be, you know, $1.99 a pound 10, 15 years ago. And now you're looking at bacon that's coming in. You know, in the grocery store, you can go in and buy your average, you know, everyday bacon for $3 and $4 a pound. But you can also go into some of these awesome, specialty shops and, you know, places like Whole Foods and whatnot that are selling, you know, an organic or a natural or a sustainable product that's coming through at $8, $10, $12 a pound. I mean, I have a local butcher that I use at a farm out here. You know, I go out and I'll pay $14 a pound for bacon because I know that it's an awesome quality product. And that's one of the cool things that ALB or America Loves Bacon does is, hey, Evan, what's the name of the bacon that we're getting in the farm?
We used an all-natural free-range Duroc pork from Creekstone Farms out in Iowa. It's all family farmers, all natural, all free-range, no auction animals, no feedlot animals. And one of the cool things with that is, I think what's cool is it seems like it's a big trend. And when you have people like Chipotle using a free-range pork, well, they're not using any of the belly or any of the bacon from that pork. So they're using their pork. It's right. Creating this supply of bacon that's available, that's free-range and natural. And I'm not sure where they get theirs. I was thinking about this, how, you know, the amount of pork that they use creates the supply for people like us to step in and say, hey, there's this free-range pork available for us to make bacon out of. That's pretty cool.
So, Evan, what's your thought process? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to jump in there, Chef Duffy, but do you think that pork's going to eventually be in higher demand than even beef?
I'm not so sure. I'm pretty new to the industry, so I'm just learning the ins and outs. I know when because I visited our facility where we get our pork from a few times, and there's way more beef being processed there than pork, I can say that.
We're also talking about, I mean, beef, this is America. You know, I mean, the idea of it surpassing beef is just not going to happen. I mean, beef is just out there. That's what we do. If you go across Middle America, you know, you might have bacon on some menus and some creative stuff. There might be pork in it, but general consensus is that beef is still, you know, beef is still king. It's one of those things. Every single menu, I have a consulting business and I have clients all over the world, and people still want their beef. They want a sirloin. They want a strip steak. I think that the cool part about pork is that it is mainstream, but it's also something that's being done as a center of a plate, as a featured item, as opposed to just menuing it all the time. And by doing that as restaurateurs or as chefs or whatever it is, by the creative ways and the creative processes that we have, we're able to get a higher dollar amount for our pork dishes at a higher profit margin. Because of the fact that the pork is still, you know, I mean, to buy a tenderloin is not $18 a pound. You know, to buy a tenderloin is still $7-$8 a pound, and we're able to get real creative, real happy, and real fun with it. I mean, one of my favorite dishes that I've ever done with pork was a bacon-wrapped pork tenderloin, and it was done with an apple cider demi-glace. It was something that was fun, it was creative, it was something that was really cool to do. We served it with a great starch, but it was a center of the plate. And the coolest part about that was the fact that on one of my menus, which my average entree item on my menu was between $20 and $24, this was an $18 item.
I'm
able to offer.
Oh, no, go ahead. Jump in there.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say.
You know what I mean? So
Chevron, go ahead. Go ahead. I'll be the judge.
I mean, you know, it's fun to watch. I'm getting hungry. We get to do these things that aren't super expensive. You know, and to be able to get a higher profit margin, but still have, on a business sense, still have a perceived value to the guest that they're getting an entree that isn't so expensive. That's one of the fun parts for me with pork.
See, that's what I wanted to jump into a little bit is, you know, on Bar Rescue, Chef Brian, you actually help people reinvent their menu, and you're looking at that always from a price perspective. So you really rely on an item like beef, since you're so knowledgeable about the pricing and that type of thing, as a way that you really can lower food costs, put out just a great, great product, and sort of do a turnaround. And we have folks listening today who are in the restaurant business. Is that a recommendation you would make for them? Start looking at different cuts of meat, different proteins to become that center of the plate to improve their profitability overall?
Well, I mean, absolutely. You know, I mean, any item that you're going to put on a menu has to have a good profitability to it. That's just the way it works. You know, we need to make sure that we're costing our menus out and running that way with it. You know, to take an item like pork that's so versatile, you know, I mean, I've got restaurants that I do a boatload of stuff with bacon and, I mean, pork shoulder, pork butts, the whole nine yards. I mean, I've got one restaurant in the outskirts of Chicago in a little town of Rockford that we do, you know, we do a pulled pork. We do it as a porchetta style. So, you know, we're cooking it that same method with that great heavy grain of salt. We're doing it with that rosemary, with that garlic, with that good seasoning, with a little bit of fat on top of it, cooking it down so that it has that real nice tender and moist, method to it. And then we're taking that one item and we're turning it into multiple dishes. So, you know, my pulled pork done as a porchetta is actually also added onto my Cubanos. So, you know, I do it on my Cubanos. I'll do it on a really cool, we do a potato pork dish with potato gaufrettes with a pulled style of pork that goes over top with an extra virgin olive oil and a really good provolone cheese. And, you know what I mean? So there's a lot of fun with it. I mean, I've got items on menus that we call, you know, one is swine is fine. You know, I do a great burger that has a pulled pork, barbecue pulled pork that we do as a crust on top of the burger. So the versatility is there and the creativity. As far as restaurants, you know, we try to do things that are less expensive that we can still have a good profitability out of without losing our creativity or to try to top off that next guy. You know, that's the idea. What are we doing better than the guy down the street? And pork's an easy way to do that.
Great advice. I really appreciate that. Evan, people that know me very well know I have a pretty big sweet tooth, and I'd like to know more about, you know, the evolution of bacon into the dessert and the sweets area. I mean, we've seen all kinds of creative stuff. So what have you seen and what are you seeing out there? What's the kind of the outlook look like for dessert and bacon? Is this something that we should get used to, or is it something that is going to be happening for a little while and then go away?
And we're going to say we cheated on your menu a little bit and looked at your America Loves Bacon. Some of these things. Describe those.
So I think the dessert side and the confection side of bacon is still pretty new outside of the chocolate-covered bacon, you know, portion of the menu, I guess you can say. So, excuse me, I lost my train of thought. So I think where the bacon and confection is going, I think it's just going to keep expanding. People are going to keep getting creative with it. You see bacon cotton candy on there. That actually, that was the second type of bacon cotton candy I had, and it was actually good the first time. First time I had it, it was horrible. injecting bacon into all types of sweets, that sweet and savory combination is really, I think, over the last, I would say, three to five years, that's kind of blown up. Bacon ice cream, bacon, pretty much bacon in, you can put bacon in any sweet dish, and it gives it a kind of a different flavor profile that makes it more desirable. So I think the direction that the bacon dessert is going, I just think it's going to keep expanding. I don't think it's sad. I think it's just, you know, another plane for chefs and pastry chefs and people in the restaurant scene and the food scene to get more creative with, especially with like the bacon cocktails and things like that. Bringing that into the bringing that into the cocktail world has been pretty interesting too. I've had some really good bacon Bloody Marys, some other bourbon cocktails with bacon infused into them. So it's definitely a new plane for chefs and food people to get creative in.
Chef Duffy, do you see the dessert, the sweet part of bacon, to be a hard sell to consumers in the future, or this is something that's going to require a little bit of explanation, or is this something that people will jump on on that bandwagon?
I mean, the bandwagon, they're already on it, man. There's no doubt about that. I mean, to watch some of the items that we, you know, that Evan and the team do with America Loves Bacon, I mean, they're doing a chocolate dipped with walnuts. You know, they're doing some really cool items right now. I mean, we had an affogato the other day when we were in Phoenix from one of the food trucks that was there.
So good.
It was a bacon affogato. I mean, it was just, I mean, that was crazy. You know, I mean, we were doing a tasting. I judged one of the competitions for one of the best bacon dishes through the food trucks. But it was really a tough call because I had one guy from Philly who did. Yeah, we were in Phoenix, and I met a guy from Philly. How funny is that? But that's where I live. Actually, Evan's from Philly as well. But yeah. You know, it was a tough call because this guy made these awesome bacon tacos with a cream sauce that went over top of it. And he did them the true Mexican style as they would do in Tijuana and whatnot. And then next to that, my next closest dish next to that was the bacon affogato. So, I mean, it was... You know, I mean, it really is a mainstream thing. I mean, people are seeing it, and, you know, is it a novelty? Hey, if it's a novelty, it's a blast to play with as a novelty. But bacon's been around for years. It's an awesome way to watch how it has gone from that traditional, you know, breakfast thing to now it's playing a main part. I mean, pork belly alone is a major player as a center of the plate item across the board. The whole pig, I mean, from snout to tail is great. One of my favorite restaurants in Pittsburgh does a crispy pig ear salad that is one of my favorite salads in the country.
Oh, so good.
I mean, I travel a lot,
crispy
and it's a crispy pig ear salad out of Pittsburgh that is absolutely amazing. The way that they combine it with the flavors and the textures and all of that is just a great way. So on the confection end, hey, more power to them. You know, I mean, let's see more stuff coming out of the pastry kitchens that involve it. I think it's a blast to watch.
So, okay, I want to follow up on that because I just, you know, Evan said he tried something for the first time and it wasn't so great the first time around. So what is the strangest thing you have seen made with pork that you said, let's go back to the kitchen on that one? Brian, you want to start?
Oh man, I'm. You know what? I this is such a hard question for me because I'm not kidding you. I flew 170,000 miles in 2 years, so I literally have had pork and crazy dishes all over the world. So Evan, I'm gonna have to throw that one to you, man, and you're gonna have to come back to me because I got to think about that one.
Hold on, repeat that.
So, what is the craziest thing you have ever seen with pork that you thought, you know what? They probably need to reinvent that a little bit that you've seen made with pork.
So in D.C. they have this restaurant, I think it's called The Pig, and they have a crispy pork ear, and that's delicious. Their crispy pork ear was delicious. So I was at a Asian place outside of the city that had a pork ear dish, and I ordered it, and I'm thinking it would be like a crispy pig ear dish, and it turned out to be kind of a gelatinous cut together slice of bread. I'll try anything once, but it was definitely one of those, I can't do that texture again.
And that's actually really true, Brian, because you eat with your eyes, and texture is a huge piece of the experience as well. So what are those epic fails you've seen out there?
you know, there was. I love to watch people on that post these amazing pictures on Pinterest that some guy with a food stylist and with a photographer has sat back and, you know, they have this concept of what they wanted to do. And then I watch these epic fails of people that try to recreate these. There was a dish that I saw. I was in Loves Park, Illinois, a couple of weeks ago, and I watched somebody try to recreate the bacon sushi that they did.
Ooh.
And it was horrific. I don't know how far you want me to go with the visual aspect of this, but take the idea that 80% of the enjoyment of a meal is that initial visual appeal. If
yes.
I just slop something on a plate, it looks like crap. Guess what? It's not going to taste that good, no matter how awesome it is, unfortunately, because that first thing is what we see. Well, this guy put a bacon sushi together, and I almost fell over. I couldn't believe it. It looked bad. It smelled bad. It every part of it was just I like to do that. You know, I hate to say it, but it was an epic fail.
Wow, guys. I know. You know, for most a long time, America thought about, you know, hey, pork chops is pretty much what we eat of the pork. Pork tenderloin is getting more popular. Now, you know, we just heard from you guys, you know, from nose to tail, you know, everything has been given. I know if you're into French gastronomy, you know, pig's feet or something big. But what other part of the pig that you think we're going to see on the menu pretty soon here that's going to be accepted by everybody and everybody's going to be talking about it? Evan, you want to start us?
I mean, that's it.
Oh, go ahead, Brian.
Go for it, Ev.
Ooh.
No, go for it, Evan.
Yeah, I got Brian on that? I was going to let Brian take the lead on that.
Go for it, Brian.
we're good at this passing the buck between the two of us. It works really well. You know,
you talk about the Eagles.
Do
you guys want to talk about the Eagles?
Nobody wants to talk about the Eagles, Evan. Even Chip Kelly's done talking about the Eagles. I think, you know, I don't think it's one item that we're going to start seeing more or less on a menu. I think it's the creativity of the items themselves. I mean, I'm going out to dinner tonight in Philly, and I'm pretty stoked because they have a pigtail salad. I mean, there's something that's on their menu that involves the pigtails. So I'm excited to watch the way that we do these things. And, you know, my girlfriend's actually a food purveyor for a company called Chef's Warehouse. And one of the things that she's coming to me with is, hey, Bri, have you ever seen this or have you ever done this? So, you know, when we get into things like pork cheeks and when we get into stuff, you know, like some of the, you know, the innards of the pig and how they're doing them. And I mean, there's so many ways to play with it.
Hey, we're going to have to cut it off there, guys. We would appreciate your time this morning as we've gone hog wild for pork on the We Sell Restaurants radio show. Great contributions from America Loves Bacon and Chef Brian Duffy. We'll be right back after this short break.
Do you have an appetite for acquisition? Then buy the best-selling book, Appetite for Acquisition, full of tips on how to acquire a restaurant in a way that is less painful, more profitable, and delivers a better return on your investment. Named Best of 2012 by Small Business Book Awards and with a 5-star rating on Amazon, the book by restaurant brokers Eric and Robin Gagnon has been described as the definitive guide for anyone looking to enter the restaurant industry. Available as a paperback or download to your Kindle, iPhone, or iPad. Just $24.99 in paperback or $9.99 for a downloadable version. Click the link on the We Sell Restaurant website at WeSellRestaurants.com or visit your favorite bookstore today and you can read how to satisfy your appetite for acquisition. Visit WeSellRestaurants.com to get Appetite for Acquisition.
Get your copy of Appetite for Acquisition today. Find out more details at WeSellRestaurants.com.
The growth in restaurants is fueling an absolute explosion in the restaurant resale market. Franchise resales are projected to peak over the next 10 years, with franchise growth for new restaurants outpacing any other industry. The result? An unprecedented demand for restaurant brokers. Whether you have a passion for food, a background in restaurant ownership, a current real estate practice, or if you are just ready for a change, being a franchisee with We Sell Restaurants can help you align your skills into a successful restaurant brokerage practice. We Sell Restaurants has a process for franchising that starts with a powerhouse brand and ends with the most important element for success, you. We Sell Restaurants is the nation's only restaurant brokerage firm satisfying the requirements for the knowledge, the training, expertise, and systems to fill the growing need. We Sell Restaurants has more sales than any other restaurant broker in the U.S. For more information on becoming a We Sell Restaurants franchisee, call 1-888-814-8226 or visit WeSellRestaurants.com.
You're back on the air with the Restaurant Brokers, and today we are talking about one of America's favorite subjects. Yes, that's right, bacon, bacon, bacon. The world is hog wild for pork, and we have some great experts on the line. We want to talk to our special guest, who is Eric Duffy of Tenderbelly. Eric, let me ask you a quick question. I want to know, and our listeners want to know, what are some of the craziest food items made from pork?
Oh, wow. Where can we even start? You know, you see a lot of more offal dishes and head cheeses, stuff like that, are being more popular with the increase in pork prices. You see chefs being a lot more creative than possibly they were in the past.
So I see a lot of salt and, you know, bacon salty, and people love that salty, sugary thing. So, you know, you see things at these world fairs and state fairs where they've got, I don't know, honey, caramelized, fried bacon, and different things like that. Do you see a lot of combos with salty and sweet coming together?
Oh, for sure. You know, you see, you know, and anytime you're at any of the state fairs, you're going to see your bacon dipped in chocolate stuff. But you also see, at, you know, more of the restaurants, you see guys combining and gals combining more sweet, salty, you know, because all those flavors go great with the earthiness of the pork. So, yeah, I think you really are seeing a lot more creativity with kind of just the plays off the stuff that you might see at the state fair.
Now, do you see us heading also towards very different things? Like, I know you see Kona coffee encrusted, you know, steaks before. Are you going to see some kind of things like that to go to that kind of route? Maybe the bitter sourness, the more strong taste with the pork, since it's kind of a mild meat as well. Do you see some experimentation? Have you tried that or something like that?
For sure. I actually, you know, there's a coffee rub that I use of my pork at home, and you just go to, you know, any of the grocery stores or online, you see a lot of these guys that are doing all sorts of different flavors, especially with the bacons now. You see, I saw someplace just the other day, they had a orange blossom cream type bacon. I didn't try it, but, you know, it seemed interesting. So I think you're always going to have your classic styles of bacon, your maples, your smokies, hickory, stuff like that, and your peppers. But there's just a lot more variety and choices out there now.
So tell us a little bit about Tenderbelly. You're headquartered in Denver. What does your company do? How long have you been in business?
We're going on 5 years, but what we do is we took a slow down approach to the pork business. So we work with small family farms pretty much all around the country, mostly in the Midwest, that are willing to raise heritage breed pigs for us and take care of them to our specifications, which are non-confinement, no antibiotics, no growth hormones, vegetarian fed, and, you know, room for the pigs to actually be pigs and, you know, kind of get back to the way it used to be done.
So it's more of selective distribution and more the farm to table, trying to get closer to that level and more, I guess, more of that pureness of the meat versus some of these larger production companies?
Yeah, yes. You know, it's talking like a heirloom tomato, for example. Mm-hmm. You know, certain times of the year, these tomatoes just taste awesome, and the rest of the year they don't because they're not, old school style tomato. So what we try to do is find these heritage breed pigs and just raise them slower, pay the farmer better so he can, you know, be happy with what he's doing. In the end, it just passes on a better product to the end customer, consumer, and it's just a more sustainable way of doing it, especially as the public gets smarter and they want better raised animals that are taken care of better, et cetera.
So I think that pork kind of gets a bad rap, you know, as people think about healthy. Are you seeing that image is changing when you go out with this heritage bred pig sort of messaging front and center? Do people understand then that what they're getting is a healthy component of their diet packed with protein and relatively lean? Aside from the bacon, of course.
Yeah, no, I would say so. I mean, as the public is more aware of, you know, what's out there, what's good for you, what's not. And yeah, pork has had a bad rap for years until, you know, I mean, just this year is, I think, the first year since sometime in the 50s that pork may surpass beef for consumption here in the United States. So,
wow.
And with these better pigs that are raised better, people are finding out that that fat is not as bad as everyone thought it was. You see more people cook a real lard instead of, you know, these homogenized oils. So, yeah, and, it, you know, they say pork fat is the easiest fat for the human body to digest. So I think it's just going to get bigger and bigger and better.
Okay, I'm tweeting that. Pork fat is the easiest fat for the human body to digest. And we'll just see what happens on Twitter when we talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see if we get an argument going.
Oh, yeah. Some people won't agree with me, but some people will, and that's just how that goes, so that's fine.
Okay.
Do you see, I mean, is it kind of a perfect storm? You know, of course, beef prices have gone so high. You know, pork become a better protein from a price perspective. You know, bacon is everywhere now in dessert and cooking and everything. You think finally the perfect storms in the last few years have been brought this resurgence of pork? Because it never went away. It was never out. It was just always kind of to the side there. And now, like, you know, it's the biggest competitor to the beef business. And from a price perspective, as a restaurateur, do you see that as a very, you know, people should even increase their pork presence in their menu?
I think I've definitely seen an increase on, you know, pork-centric menus. And, you know, the beef is crazy expensive, and there's only so much top cuts on a steer. But with a hog, you see the chefs getting just more creative and be able to use more offcuts to create really cool dishes at a lower price point, lower food cost, and still put out a really good product. So that's what I think is kind of giving people the chefs to kind of think outside of the box and just get more creative and utilizing the whole animal now.
So Tenderbelly is a supplier. Did you and your brother, were you both chefs before you started the business?
No, I did culinary school about 15 years ago, worked in the industry for quite a while, and I grew up in Iowa. My grandpa was a hog farmer, raised really good pigs. He didn't know any better, so he just took them to the market, the commodity market, and just got paid whatever, you know, what everyone else was getting. And then when I went to culinary school, then I got my job at a couple nice restaurants and eating pork down there, and I was always really disappointed. They're like, oh, this is not very good pork. And the chefs are kind of like, well, this is what's out there.
Okay, and we're going to have to leave it there, because that's great information, though, because I know our listeners are just all hog wild for pork, and you have really given us some great information. You are listening to We Sell Restaurants, the industry leader in restaurants for sale, franchise restaurant resales, and site location for the food service industry. We Sell Restaurants is franchising nationwide. For more information, contact us online at WeSellRestaurants.com.
Ready to reach a national audience of would-be restaurant owners, investors, foodies, the hospitality industry, and people in businesses related to the restaurant world? Advertise on the We Sell Restaurants new radio show, airing at 12 noon every Saturday on Talk 920. Not only will you get a professionally produced radio commercial, but also a potential segment sponsorship, website banner ads, and emails to We Sell Restaurants' extensive industry database of restaurant owners, buyers, and foodies. And reaching the listeners of the We Sell Restaurants radio show goes beyond Talk 920. It's also streamed live from their powerhouse website, WeSellRestaurants.com. And if listeners miss the live program, they can grab it from the iTunes Store and download the We Sell Restaurants podcast. Or they can catch them on their YouTube channel. To advertise with We Sell Restaurants, visit WeSellRestaurants.com. WeSellRestaurants.com. Once again, WeSellRestaurants.com.
What if there was one source for your local restaurant needs, like a trade newspaper for the food service industry in Georgia and Florida? What if I told you there is one? Today's Restaurant is your total marketing solution to sell a service or a product for a restaurant in Georgia and Florida. Today's Restaurant features a What's Going On column with news of the industry, an industry spotlight with stories about local companies serving the industry, and listings of restaurants that have just opened, are under construction, or under new management, a calendar of events of upcoming shows and educational meetings, a Facebook-like network of people in the industry, a food and beverage section, and a real estate section. To get your free subscription to Today's Restaurant delivered monthly to your mailbox, just go to trnusa.com. You can also read past issues in the archive section at trnusa.com. To learn more about Today's Restaurant, call Howard at 561-620-8888. That's 561-620-8888. Today's Restaurant, the food service industry's newspaper.
Are you the owner or looking to become the owner of a Georgia restaurant, bar, nightclub, food truck, brewery, or brew pub? If so, GeorgiaRestaurantLaw.com is the place for you. At GeorgiaRestaurantLaw.com, you can receive free information on the requirements for the food and beverage industry in Georgia. Plus, you can schedule a free in-office consultation with a Georgia restaurant attorney and receive access to dozens of flat-fee legal services that you need for your food and beverage business. Visit them online to schedule an initial consultation. GeorgiaRestaurantLaw.com.
Okay, that sound means you're back on the air with the Restaurant Brokers, and today we have been going hog wild for pork. That's right. America has that love affair with bacon and all things pork-related. And Eric, I think it's kind of interesting. Our guest today shared a lot of information, and one thing that sort of stood out to me is that pork has gotten sort of a bad reputation over the years as being not so healthy. And what I found very interesting and innovative about what restaurants are doing today is that there's so much more consciousness about what you're eating and where it comes from and how it's derived and then what that animal is being fed and how it's being sourced, that I think you can kind of overcome those objections and people feel a whole lot better about eating whatever the protein or the product is. What do you think?
I agree. I mean, if you think even go back 20 years ago, I mean, pork was a big southern thing. I mean, you know how many pig picking, you know, and barbecue joints and everything have emerged in the South. So the South's always been strong in barbecue and pork. And then the rest of the country is like, ooh, no, no pork. You know, beef is, you know, you go to the Midwest. I mean, it was all beef and all these things. And now suddenly out of nowhere, pork is, you know, we learned today is head to head. Maybe this year we'll surpass beef in consumption in our country, which we use a lot of meat.
So that means the reality portion of this segment means that then we've got to really rethink old recipes, old ways of doing business, old preparation methods, and even old ways of using the product available to you. Because I think one thing that one guest said that chefs are becoming more creative and they're using more what would in the prior years be called offcuts. They weren't that primary source of bacon or pork chops or whatever you would derive from the animal. And so chefs have gotten very, very creative about approaching the product. And from that really sort of sends a message about what you should be doing as an operator or as someone planning a menu is to, think about ways that you could use that less popular sort of cut of the meat and then derive a dish around it. And guess what? Lowers your food costs. Gives you something that's a standout, begins to differentiate your menu and what you have to offer. And you become a little bit something different in the crowd.
Yeah, you minimize your waste. You become more sustainable into the adult environment right now, which is a big thing for all restaurants and then consumers. You can use a lot more. I mean, be honest with you, I mean, people may not know that, but pig's feet is a delicacy in France. It's a big, very fancy thing, very, very top chef, very hard to do. But even the feet of a pig are something that people eat, and it's actually, I've eaten before, it's very good.
Okay, we're leaving that one to you. I'm not eating that.
But, you know, you look at that compared to beef, like you said, there's only so many, our guests said today, you know, so many cuts of beef you can use and so forth. You can buy a whole pig. Probably a lot less that you can buy, you know, only certain parts of the beef. So that's also that. So if you are only having just pork chops on your menu still today, you need to really go back to your drawing board and figure out, okay, I may have to cut down these cuts of beef. You're probably already using some different cuts of beef, or you're having some very expensive beef item on your menu because that's the current situation that we are in. But you need to look at that and make some very interesting dish made of pork. And that's probably something that you really want to do to maximize profit and also reduce food costs and also probably getting what your customer wants. Cause I mean, like we said, pork, bacon. I mean, everything bacon, people are trying it. Isn't that right, Rob?
That's true. The other thing I think is kind of interesting is that everybody that goes through culinary school, they go through a whole butcher round. I mean, that's a classic piece of the training. But for so many people, they do it, and it's, okay, I made it through that class. It's like anatomy or biology. You made it through, and so
check
you're...
Check the box and move on.
Move on. And what this segment really points out is that there are different places to focus, and maybe going back and restudying that approach to that animal to begin with will either refamiliarize you. And I'm not saying everybody should be a butcher, but stay current on that that methodology, and then you can request an alternative cut of the animal and then do different things with it.
Yeah, you see that where we had some guests about fish, you know, how there's some fish that are you know, more cuts, there's more parts of the fish that you can use, and there's more meat in the fish. And so it's the same thing here. You got to learn how to you know, fillet fish. You got to learn how to cut your portions and be creative with it. Don't go overboard with it unless this is all your team. And we've seen so many restaurants that are opening in the recent years, you know, all pork, all bacon, all of this. I mean, this is good, but, you know, it's something that you should have a tool that people would request and push it. You know, part of this also is education of your customers through your servers to educate people about this cut. I mean, we learn about the fat content. We learn that it is healthy. We learn some different dishes. And if your sales force, which is, okay, your servers, can describe this and push this, you're going to get better margins and also increase profitability for your restaurant by pushing more pork product.
I love it when we talk about profitability because that's really the name of the game. That's what this segment, Restaurant Reality, is about. So when we're challenging you to look beyond the basic pork chop or whatever's been on your menu for the last 5 to 7 years and really include something different, it is both to drive from a marketing perspective, drive more people in the doors because they want to taste something that's different, that's unique, and that's a challenge for you as a chef to put together. And then secondly, to be able to really raise that per price, per plate, either your margin or the top line sales number, both of which have the effect of delivering more profit to you as an operator. And at the end of the day, the reality is, no matter how much you love the business, no matter how much you love bacon, no matter how great you are in serving it up at home, we got to deliver those dollars and cents if you're going to stay in this business. And it can be challenging. You take a plate that retails for $18 and you change the margin up from, you know, a 32% food cost to a 26% food cost. That's 6% on every dollar that comes in top line sales that delivers to you on the bottom line. And that's the kind of math you have to do and you have to apply to the restaurant business to be successful.
Yeah, and you have to look. I mean, if you love beef, that's great. Like Robin said, buy some great cuts, cook it at home or something like that. Get on your menu in limited portions. Maybe, you know, you sell only 5% of this. You know, it is pricier. But also experiment. I mean, we talked today about bacon. We talk about pork today. But we see veal as an up-and-coming trend right now. There's so many different meats out there that are. Don't be afraid to try. Challenge your chef. I mean, if you own a restaurant and you have a chef or even strong cooks in your kitchen, challenge them. Show their creativity. Mm-hmm. Just say, hey, I'm going to buy 10 pounds, 15 pounds of veal. Let's try. Experiment with that. Come in on your day off if you want to or come in on Monday or on a slow day, and I want you to experiment, and let's get some of our customer. Make it an event. Make it a fun thing. Make it a discovery thing for you, for your cooking staff, for your staff in the restaurant, as well as some of your best customers. And that is an event that will generate so much buzz that when you introduce new dishes, the whole world will be talking about it for you.
Well, because you brought up a really good point there, is that you get your staff engaged and you get them excited about it. And your wait staff, they're your sales team. And so you really cannot differentiate between those two things. Wait staff equals sales staff. So you have to get them excited, invigorated, and passionate about whatever they have been trying and eating. And then, guess what? Those sales go out the door. And speaking of sales, we can't end this segment without talking about a few of our listings and some of the businesses that we have for sale. We have a kosher catering restaurant in Pembroke Pines, Florida. Now, I'm always intrigued when people look at Florida because, Eric, you know, there is no state income tax in Florida, tremendous weather, very business-friendly climate. I might want to go there myself. This one's on the market for $295,000.
That's great. I mean, you know, we talk about bacon today. Nothing better than a burger with bacon and a cold beer. Well, I've got a sports bar in Metro Atlanta area, making to an owner-operator, $140,000 a year in profit in your pocket, working 40 hours a week. $249,000. This owner says, sell, Eric, sell, sell, sell. He called me last week, said sell. So we need some people to look at that. Listing 4350 on WeSellRestaurants.com.
Remember, visit us online, WeSellRestaurants.com, and we're back here every single week as we satisfy your appetite for acquisition, feed the need for restaurant reality, and serve up a recipe for business success. This is Eric and Robin Gagnon. We are the Restaurant Brokers. You can find us online at WeSellRestaurants.com.
The growth in restaurants is fueling an absolute explosion in the restaurant resale market. Franchise resales are projected to peak over the next 10 years, with franchise growth for new restaurants outpacing any other industry. The result? An unprecedented demand for restaurant brokers. Whether you have a passion for food, a background in restaurant ownership, a current real estate practice, or if you are just ready for a change, being a franchisee with We Sell Restaurants can help you align your skills into a successful restaurant brokerage practice. We Sell Restaurants has a process for franchising that starts with a powerhouse brand and ends with the most important element for success, you. We Sell Restaurants is the nation's only restaurant brokerage firm satisfying the requirements for the knowledge, the training, expertise, and systems to fill the growing need. We Sell Restaurants has more sales than any other restaurant broker in the U.S. For more information on becoming a We Sell Restaurants franchisee, call 1-888-814-8226 or visit WeSellRestaurants.com.
Do you have an appetite for acquisition? Then buy the best-selling book, Appetite for Acquisition, full of tips on how to acquire a restaurant in a way that is less painful, more profitable, and delivers a better return on your investment. Named Best of 2012 by Small Business Book Awards, and with a 5-star rating on Amazon, the book by restaurant brokers Eric and Robin Gagnon has been described as the definitive guide for anyone looking to enter the restaurant industry. Available as a paperback or download to your Kindle, iPhone, or iPad, just $24.99 in paperback or $9.99 for a downloadable version. Click the link on the We Sell Restaurant website at WeSellRestaurants.com or visit your favorite bookstore today and you can read how to satisfy your appetite for acquisition. Visit WeSellRestaurants.com to get Appetite for Acquisition.
Get your copy of Appetite for Acquisition today. Find out more details at WeSellRestaurants.com.